Hello and welcome once again. This is Love Your Life Now. My name is Sonia Sophie, and once again I am here with my friend, Kundalini Yoga teacher and enlightened being walking the earth. I'm just trying to make her laugh.
But yeah, that's true, as we all are in light beings.
Christina Sergun Powers. We hope, number one, that you have listened to the sleep podcast. We've got some great feedback. People really liked it. And if you happen to have sleep issues and you can't get to sleep, you can't stay asleep, we recommend you go back and listen to the last podcast. And then you go ahead and fix that, and you'll have a lot more energy to go about your day and do what it is that you want to do and have to do in order to love your life now.
And if I can just interject, it's not really just for people with sleep disorders, so to speak, or, you know, not regular sleep patterns. I have never had a problem with sleep, and I use a lot of the tools that we listed and that are also on that website, 3ho.org, because everyone should have a beautiful, blissful, restful, rejuvenated sleep.
Exactly. Following that, basically the new year has started, and I had some sleep issues in the first 2 weeks because there were a couple of days, you know, in the holidays where I didn't go to sleep and we stayed up all night, and then it was kind of completely out of whack, and I started sleeping in a different room for reasons I will explain in a second. And I actually had my bed the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And from the website, I read that I needed to have it east-west aligned, and I turned it, and the same night I was sleeping much better. So definitely go ahead and try these tips out. They worked for me, and ever since then I have been able to do something else, which is get up at between 3:30 and 3:45 in the morning so that I could be over here at the yoga studio with Christina and do what's called...
It's sadhana. Sadhana just simply means practice, a daily practice. And this particular sadhana, it's kundalini, and it's called the Aquarian sadhana. And it was handed down by Yogi Bhajan, who is the yogi who brought kundalini yoga to the United States in 1969. This particular one, it's the same practice every day. It starts with chanting, or kind of recitation. They're different. It's the beginning of what they call the guru. It's the written text that in the Sikh tradition, inspirational enlightenment from Guru Nanak, the first Sikh guru. It's called Japji. Japji means repeat. The whole line, it's in what's the language of Gurmukhi, and it's actually very beautiful. You don't really necessarily need to know the language. It's the concept that it's the sound current, and the sound current is coming through the crown. And so whatever language, whether it's German, Italian, French,
doesn't matter. The sound vibration.
It's about the sound vibration, and your brain knows all languages. Yeah. So whether your ears understand it or not, and then the emotional response you feel in your heart. Now, it's what it actually is saying is everything a human being needs to live an enlightened life throughout the day, so that they start their day with that. And that's about 15 to 20 minutes, and then we do a kundalini yoga set that is anywhere from 40 to 50 minutes with meditation and deep relax. And then the last part of the sadhana is chanting for 62 minutes in the sound current, vibrating it. There are 7 mantras that we do, and this is the part that is the same every day. It's the same 7 mantras, and we do it with different melodies, different recordings, beautiful recordings, Sanatam, Sergun Kaur, Mirabai Sieba, Akuna. I mean, the list goes on and on. Hari Bhajan Kaur.
Niranjan Kaur. My favorite
Kaur,
one for sadhana.
Gyanji Ji, which is the male undertones, very melodic. And then we begin our day, and you do that between the hours of 4 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. before the sun rises.
And why do we do that? And this is also the topic of today's podcast. It's to practice our self-discipline. In Brian Tracy's book, The Power of Discipline, 7 Ways It Can Change Your Life, He states on page 105, when you practice self-discipline and willpower in the acceptance of responsibility, you take complete control of your thoughts and feelings and become a more effective, happy, and positive person in everything you do.
That's correct. And that's many of the quotes that we'll read from Yogi Bhajan. That's exactly what he says.
Exactly. And it seems so strange, though, because many of us think or believe that, hey, if I don't have to be disciplined, that's more fun. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if my life needs to be disciplined and or if I need to be disciplined in my life, that's somehow a restraint. And therefore, I would be less happy because I can't do just what I want to do. And therefore, we don't place enough attention on being disciplined because we don't understand really the workings of self-discipline.
Well, many people think that discipline means you're restricted. It means that you're limited. It means that you're confined, that you're being controlled.
And we don't like that feeling.
Right. And it's really just the opposite. This is from a lecture Yogi Bhajan gave. It's in a book called The Master's Touch, and it's on what is happiness. And I've read this quote from this lecture a few times at the end of sadhana. At the end of sadhana, you read an inspirational piece to start your day. It doesn't matter where the inspirational piece could come from, the Bible, the Quran, any kind of inspirational writing or teaching. But here's the concept of discipline. This is what discipline reads. He says, what is the known formula for happiness? It is commitment. That will give you character. That character will give you dignity. Dignity will give you divinity. Divinity will give you grace. And grace will give you the power to sacrifice. Then you will feel achieved and you will be happy. It goes back to the commitment. What kind of commitment do you have for yourself? What kind of, you know, discipline are you involved in? And are you ready for whatever life brings? And that's the reason why we do the sadhana, is because it aligns you. And I'll talk, you know, a little bit about energetically and on a physical level what's happening with the alignment. But on the level of discipline, it's having yourself ready to be spontaneous, having yourself ready to be limitless, having yourself ready to take on whatever the universe is giving you, because the universe is only giving you what you asked for.
And what you can handle.
And what you can handle. And we literally asked for everything. In the time that it comes to you, it's not important and it's not your business. The universe knows. But you have to have yourself ready and aligned. Because you could be given the cornucopia of what you asked for.
And not be able to handle it.
And not be able to handle it at all. And the universe says, okay, I'm going to show you what you could have. But you're not ready for it. Mm-hmm. So now here's another lesson. You need to go get yourself ready. And you need to just get yourself aligned and disciplined so that you are ready to be. It's like the dichotomy. People think if you have a discipline, you're confined, restricted, and you're under certain rules and regulations. Well, when you have a discipline that is enlightening and elevating you on mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, you are limitless.
Exactly. Again, another quote from The Power of Discipline, page 49. The more you discipline yourself to use your time well, the happier you will feel and the better will be the quality of your life in every area. And I want to go back to what you just read and touch on that word sacrifice, right? So we're hearing commitment, which is in a way the same as discipline, and then it's all of a sudden goes to sacrifice, right? So what is that sacrifice? Well, that sacrifice may be sacrificing the time that you have spent mindlessly, the time that you have spent wasting, the time that you have squandered. So you're sacrificing that which seems to give you joy in the moment, mm-hmm. but in reality it isn't. So when it comes down to it, it's not a sacrifice at all. It really, that's an illusion. There is no sacrifice. Mm-hmm. But we would often see it as a sacrifice. Oh, I can't hang out with my friends every Friday night. If I'm, let's say I have a goal of achieving something and therefore I need to be out. Maybe I'm trying to run a marathon, for lack of a better example, and the marathon running takes away a lot of time, and I need to work out on Friday evenings. I need to run my 10 miles, so I can't hang out with my friends. So it feels like a sacrifice. I'm sacrificing time with my friends. However, it's not a sacrifice at all, because what I am doing during that time, being disciplined and doing my routine, doing what's necessary, that will get me to the point where I can run that marathon and then have all that satisfaction and all the endorphins and all the feelings and everything that comes with me achieving that goal that I have set for myself.
Exactly. It goes back around to the law of giving and receiving. When we sacrifice, it's just the universe, or it's just the language way of saying giving up something which you hold as important and valuable for whatever reason. And then when you really give it up, you realize you're given a lesson if it really isn't.
Exactly. Really an illusion.
It's an illusion. And what comes back to you is 10 times greater than what you gave up. Opens up the space for that. It's like the universe saying, look, I have so much to give you. You're holding on to this little tiny space. You're holding on to dear life. I have everything to give you. And if you would just let go of this little plug, mm-hmm. this little block of the thing, then it's going to pour in the prosperity.
Yes. That's an excellent example. And it reminds me of an example that I heard from someone else a long time ago who was talking about beliefs, and this is essentially what we're talking about, the belief that we're sacrificing something, or the belief that this one thing is really necessary for us to be happy. And that's an example of these monkeys, this type of monkey that is very smart and they love to eat peanuts and they're really, really fast. So a human being cannot catch them, but they are a delicacy in whatever country they call their home. So the people there drill a little hole into a tree and then they put a peanut inside. So the monkey can stick the hand in and grab the peanut, but as soon as it makes a fist, the hole is too small for the monkey to pull the hand out with the peanut in its hand. The hunter just leisurely walks up to the monkey because the monkey really wants the peanut. And he wants it so much that more often than not, it actually costs him his life because he's trying to escape, but he's not letting go of the peanut. That's his thing.
Oh, if he just let go.
He could get his hand out and he would have everything. He would have life. And that is what we do when we are not disciplined, when we don't create discipline.
Or the monkey holding onto the peanut.
Or a monkey holding onto the peanut.
That's a very good analogy. I thought it was going to get very graphic, but no.
It's just, we don't even have to get to that
part.
It's just the point is, let go of your peanut beliefs.
Let go of your peanut. I love it. So continuing on with sadhana and letting go of your peanut beliefs, we talked about sleep last week. And so here we are getting up at 3:30 in the morning and you're like, I'm giving up that. Well, no, you've got to let go of that peanut, because if you are maximizing the sleep pattern of your body, and you really are getting that 2 to 3 hours of refreshed,
deep
rejuvenated sleep. And then when we go through the practice of sadhana, I mean, we are resting and recovering and rejuvenating through the whole piece. The other layer of it is, reason getting up at that time is the highest vibration of the alignment of the poles, north and south pole, with the sun and the moon. So the frequency is incredibly high. So our crown is open. Energetically, we are the best antenna to bring in the sound current, bring in the frequency of the highest elevated level of thinking, the highest elevated level of vibration of the universe. And it's like a download. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's like taking your USB and plugging it in, just having everything right to you. It's not something to think about. It's not something to ponder. You are open. The doorway, the pathway is open. And in that time period, doing the practice, it provides that for you. It's not something you have to work hard to do.
Right.
So, you know, some people come to sadhana and they may really want to recite Japji. I mean, that's the goal, is to be able to recite that language. Some just want to listen to it. Some want to just lay down and get, you know, that rest before we start doing the yoga. And so they really want to do the yoga. They want to get the physical body aligned, and that's enough. And so they lay down and they listen to the sound current, and they're laying, you know, flat out.
And some people just come for the singing in the morning.
Some people just come for the singing in the morning. And some people come for the whole enchilada, so to speak. And it goes in different ways. And that's how it's been for me. I've been doing this practice 13 years. And, you know, there were moments when I would just get there and the best that I could do was to do the yoga and forget about anything else and I'm good and everybody else keep on chanting and thank you very much for the sound current. And then, you know, learning the language was really wonderful. And then there was moments where I felt I couldn't sing a note on key and I felt very self-conscious about joining into the singing and the chanting because it's coming together as one. It's creating one sound. And so everybody's sound really comes together. And I thought, oh, my sound is horrible. I'm off. I'm messing everybody up. And that's a layer of a block in me to let go through the throat chakra. So over the years, somehow that went through. And learning the language, again, it's not the visual. It's not the ears. It's the crown that learns it. I think there's only been a moment in the last 13 years where I kind of went through the language to kind of fine-tune the pronunciation. But I learned the language just by the sound current coming through.
Yeah. What I'm going to interject here then before we close the podcast is that for those of you who are living anywhere around Altadena, Pasadena area, we are still doing the 40-day sadhana. It started January 2nd or 3rd,
4th,
mm-hmm. And so it's going until about February 12th. If you want to join us, go to www.yogaforbalance.org, or if you are a member of our meetup, you can just check for the information there. And just coming out, sadhana is a free community service, so it is free of charge. And try out your self-discipline. Now, this is not the only way to self-discipline yourself. However, if you are someone who feels that you are very out of whack, committing to sadhana for even just 5 days in a row, right? Or 7 days in a row, or you just keep going as long as you can, or twice a week or something like that, that can get you started on that discipline pattern. It can get you started on seeing how, giving up that couple of hours sleep that looks like a sacrifice, how that actually can benefit you in your life. So I am back to needing only 5.5 hours of sleep. And I was back to needing 8 hours of sleep in around December. I really needed 8 hours of sleep. And now I'm noticing I'm back to needing only 5.5 because I'm setting my system straight in the morning during sadhana.
There's a learning, a clearing that you go through. And as long as I've been practicing this and as many times as I have done 40-day sadhanas or done 90-day sadhanas, every single moment is something that I'm learning and going through and elevating myself. So just, you know, the person who's been practicing the longest or the person who just started practicing, one of my students, he hasn't been practicing in 2 years. He goes, I'm doing it. And he's here every day. You know, everybody has whatever it is they're gravitating to and whatever they're, but you feel it when you leave here. Either you're joining us every day or you're joining us one day a week, it really makes no difference because wherever you start, that's where you start. Mm-hmm. And that is your practice. That's your discipline. So if you're disciplined, and that used to be the challenge for me too when I worked very early hours, I had one day a week that I was going to lead and practice it. And I was going to do, you know, another abbreviated version for myself later. But I said, okay, that one day a week, that's what I'm doing. And that's just where you started. You're gung-ho one day a week or you're gung-ho on 7 days a week.
Doesn't matter. But you set your goal and you're disciplined in attaining that goal. I will leave you for today with this because we're already out of time again.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, I know. Woo. Brian Tracy, this is on the back of his book, The Power of Discipline, 7 Ways It Can Change Your Life. And that is, by the way, by simpletruths.com. And they have a set of very beautiful, inspirational, small books. Go check that out. And here is what Brian Tracy has to say at the end of his book. Self-discipline is the key to personal greatness. It is the magic quality that opens all doors for you and makes everything else possible. With self-discipline, the average person can rise as far and as fast as his talents and intelligence can take him. But without self-discipline, a person with every blessing of background, education, and opportunity will seldom rise above mediocrity. So true, right? So we're going to leave you with that thought, and we will see you back next week. There are a few changes coming up. Next week is February, so we will start with a little bit something different. Actually, this is what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks. We've been really relating everything that we've been talking about to the Kundalini teachings and lifestyle. Therefore, I am starting what's called Kundalini Corner. Woo! Because there is so much wisdom that Christina Sigrun Powers can relate to us from her years of learning and practicing and, you know, teaching Kundalini yoga. It is just so great. We can learn so much from that and really make our lives better, that I wanted to make sure I'm dedicating a podcast subject just to that.
Can I say what we're going to talk about next?
Okay. All right. She's super excited. Yeah. So the first Kundalini Corner subject will be
authentic relationships, and this is particularly couple relationships, and what is the dynamic between falling in love and passion and intimacy, and why some relationships work and why some don't. And it seems like mystery, but there is some real reasons that we look into it.
And
we look into it from a Kundalini
exactly point of perspective. I was going to just say, we've talked about relationships before earlier in last year, and now we're going to take a look at, well, what exactly does the Kundalini teaching have to say about relationships, and you're going to share all that wisdom with us next week. And until then, we want to encourage you to
love your life now.